This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Today, whether in Europe, the Middle East, or the United States, laws are under siege. Throughout the world, laws are being challenged. Anarchists have in some cases caused or nearly caused chaos and destruction in order to disrupt the status quo. From the earliest of empires, man has struggled with law. Empire after empire, they have come and they have gone. A never-ending revolving door of system after system, attempting to sustain a utopia for the benefit of humanity. Ironically, the laws and system that would sustain utopia have seldom been kept and or observed. Yet, undoubtedly, when they have been tried by someone and maintained for any length of time, these laws have assured peace of mind, balanced children, happy families, and good health in so many ways. Stay with us as we explore these laws of God that have stood the test of time and have enormously benefited the few who've applied them in their lives.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello once again, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. I'm your host today, Tony Bukert, and I'd like to just take a few seconds, if you'd allow me, just to say thank you once again for allowing us, the Church of God International and its membership, well, to come into your homes and to spend some time with you and to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because that's what we're here for, to preach the gospel, the good news. And I'm sure you would agree that we all need some good news here. And Jesus Christ offers us just that, the good news of a bright future and a hopeful tomorrow. Well, the topic I want to talk about with you today, friends, it's a big topic. And this topic really has a lot of confusion and misunderstanding surrounding it, especially the way it's taught in Christian churches today. It's just confused and it's watered down. And specifically what I want to talk about is the law, and more specifically and to the point, God's law, and whether or not we're supposed to observe those laws today, or were they in fact done away with, as some of the preachers would have you believe. You know, we have a lot of laws in our land. You know, we have local laws. Perhaps you live in a small village that has laws that govern us and keep us safe and keep our liberties protected. You move it up the ladder, we got state laws on the state level, same thing. Laws that are supposed to protect and govern us and give us liberties that we're supposed to enjoy in the land. And we have federal laws in the land that are for our protection, and they're supposed to be like a moral compass for us, a beacon in the night, if you will, a way to keep us all safe in this great land that we live in. Glory be to Jesus Christ that He's put us in this land of liberty, because without the United States of America and without being in the country that we're in and not being a part of the blessings that He's given this country, friends, where would we be? Where would we be without God's blessings? You know, unfortunately, when you go back through history, you see a leaving of the primary principles of the founding fathers of this country. So allow me just to talk about the founding fathers for just a couple moments, because it gets us right to the heart of the foundation of our country. You know, the country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, the one in which Jesus Christ was important in the beginning. Well, the founding fathers, they weren't perfect human beings by any stretch of the imagination. And by the way, who is? I'm certainly not perfect. We all have our faults. However, there's something that the founding fathers understood. They understood that the foundation of this country resided solely on the belief of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and, to expand the thought just a little bit, His laws. That's right. That might seem new or foreign, but the fact of the matter is, friends, that God's law was a very basic founding principle in the beginning. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you some quotes from the founding fathers regarding what they believed in God's law, what they thought about it, what it was designed for. Did, in fact, they want it done away with, or did they adhere to it and embrace it? Well, before I do that, allow me just to interrupt myself for just a moment. And I want to offer a CD to you today and a booklet completely free of charge. Completely free of charge. And when I mean free of charge, we are not going to call. We are not going to solicit you in any way. It's just exactly that. We make it available to you through the tithes and offerings of the membership of the Church of God International. So there is no catch. It is free. The first offering I'd like to make available to you today is a booklet titled Understanding the Ten Commandments. Isn't that something that we all want to do, to understand God's Ten Commandments? If, in fact, there is a God, and if He is sovereign, and if He's the one that decides, you know, right from wrong and the morality, wouldn't we want to understand what His commandments say? In addition to that, take a look at the CD that we have for you. It's simply titled The Ten Commandments for a very good overview of what the Ten Commandments were and are to us and exactly what's our relationship to the law. Are we supposed to observe it or was it done away? Let me give you the contact information real quick. Simply pick up your phone and dial 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791, or just hit us up on the World Wide Web at www.cgi.org. And while you're there, take a few seconds and look at the webcast we have available to you every Saturday. Now, the times are going to be posted there because they vary a little bit. So just go to the website, take a look at the webcast we have there, and make plans sometime. Just take a look at that and see what we make available for you every Saturday. But back to the topic. I wanted to get back to the founding fathers of the United States of America, and just by way of remembrance, just kind of put it back in our minds exactly what it was that they thought was a founding principle of this land, and they knew law was a founding principle that would protect liberties as long as that law was adhered to. What was the beginning? Where did they get the idea of law in our judicial system from? I want to read to you from an article that I printed up here, and it's entitled The Ten Commandments. And each section here that I'm going to quote starts out by asking you a question. And that question is, did you know? So let me start out by asking you, did you know that as you walk up the steps to the building which houses the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, the highest court of the land, U.S. Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers, and each one is facing one in the middle who is facing forward with a full frontal view. Now, who do you suppose that is? As all these lawgivers of all the great nations in the world that have ever existed and have their laws with them, and they're all lined up and facing towards the center, who was in the middle of that? Who are they looking towards? Well, let's see what it says here. It is Moses, and he is holding the Ten Commandments. That's right. Even in our buildings, in the framework of the structures, the buildings of the United States Supreme Court, we have here Moses, the one that God gave the Decalogue to, holding the Ten Commandments, and everyone is looking to the Ten Commandments for a guide, for a moral compass. Let's continue to see exactly what the Founding Fathers thought about God and His law. Did you know, as you enter the Supreme Court courtroom, the two huge oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of each door. So as soon as you go into the courtroom, First thing you got to do is you have to walk through the Ten Commandments. You have to walk through those Ten Commandments. Did you know James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, James Madison, made the following statement: "We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government." That's right, self-government. "Upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves, according to the Ten Commandments of God." That's a founding father of this country, understanding that the Ten Commandments were foundational and was a primary principle to starting off this country in the right direction. Even our judicial system was founded on God's law. They went to the book of Deuteronomy. They went to the book of Leviticus. There are several books that they turned to get the judicial system in place. It's true. It's a matter of fact of history. It's a fact. Unfortunately, in our land, it's a sad case that we start to see those laws now from time to time being in conflict with what God requires and what God wants. You know, we deal with a lot of things in our country. There's a lot of change coming our way. There's a lot of people out there that are being confused and being misled to accept things that aren't Christian nowadays. Look at the topic of abortion. How is that Christian? You know, what I had stated here a little bit prior to this abortion topic that I'm going to address just slightly here, it's supposed to be the law, a moral compass, a guide for us to protect us, our liberties. And now, unfortunately, we see murder being protected. And by the way, there's a lot of women being taken advantage of out there by this thing called abortion. There really are. And we no longer see a law in our land that is really reflective or indicative of what it started out in its originality. But anyways, we want to continue here. And I also want to bring another quote to you from a very famous Christian, one perhaps you're quite familiar with. And I want to start out today by going right to the source. I'm going to go right to the source today because we believe in Jesus Christ. And if we're going to call ourselves Christian, well, we do want to do our best to make sure that we're doing what Christ said to do and following His doctrines and the things that He taught. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, take a few seconds and turn over with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 5, to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to just turn here real quick and take a few minutes to look at what Jesus said about the law. And in doing so, we'll see that the law was not done away with at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus says something entirely different. And we won't go to this scripture only, but there's some more we'll follow up with. But specifically here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and it cannot be hidden." Boy, what a welcoming sight to weary travelers in the world that's full of darkness. A light in the distance, something to look to, something to aim for, something that gives hope. "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in that house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, right here we have a misconception that has to be addressed. It just absolutely has to be looked at, and we have to examine it for the truth's sake. You know, unfortunately, no matter how sincere people are, this is taught wrong. It really is. The misconception out there is that if you do your best to aim for the mark, to keep God's law, to keep His moral compass, to observe the Decalogue, you know, it's unfortunate that people think that what you're doing is you're trying to save yourself through law observance. And that's not at all what Jesus Christ taught. That's not at all what Jesus Christ taught. Jesus came as the Messiah, as the Lamb that would shed its blood for us. And that's exactly what happened, and that's what earns us salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. Jesus Christ did that for us. So when we talk about the law in a positive light, please don't misunderstand and think that what we're preaching is salvation by works, because that is absolutely not the case whatsoever. But we do have a God. We do have a God. And He does have the right to say where, how, why, and even where we worship Him. So it does behoove us, if we're going to call ourselves Christian, to take some time and consider what it is that Christ said about the law. So let's take a look at it. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but I came to fulfill. And already we're automatically probably going back to some preconceived notions that we have about the law and Jesus Christ, because so many of us, friends, so many of us, yours truly included, live so much time of our lives in Christianity thinking that Jesus Christ did just that, that He did destroy the law. We were taught that He did do away with the law. We are taught that there's no more requirement to look towards any kind of a moral compass or a guide in the night that would give us some sort of hope, some sort of definition of between right and wrong. And that's where we go wrong, because we forget that God defines right and wrong. And so many of us have spent so much time in this world, friends, believing the opposite of what Jesus Christ taught. So what did He teach? He said, first and foremost, think not that I've come to destroy the law. And the word destroy is nothing that we have an issue with. We know what the word destroy means. It just means to tear down, to bring to ruin, to bring to nothing, to destroy it. I can't get any more specific than that, that He didn't mean He was going to destroy it. With His own words, He says this. What did He say, though? He said, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And what is taught out there? That Jesus Christ, when He came in the flesh and walked this earth and he lived and He was sacrificed on the staros or the stake, that did away with any requirements for us to look to any law as a moral guide whatsoever. But really, when you look at the word fulfill and you get into the Greek and really what it means, the word here that Jesus Christ is using when he talks about the law is plarao. Plarao. And really what that means, it means He came to magnify it or to fill it up to the rim, to be the example of what it's supposed to be, what it does for us and how we're supposed to look to it. He didn't come to destroy anything. He came to be the example of how to keep the law. That's what He did. And again, with that being said, there's a lot of misconceptions out there in Christianity about the relationship of law versus grace and mercy. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about what some of the early apostles taught about the law. Did you realize that even the apostles taught and allowed the congregations to be taught from the law? Let's take a look at another set of scriptures here, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, because there's a figure that comes to the forefront. A man who oftentimes is accused of being an antinomian, one who did away with the law, or one who teaches the law done away with, and that is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a church. And I want to turn to those scriptures here real quick. If you would grab your Bibles or write this scripture down, what we'll do is we'll turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, one of the perhaps most misunderstood set of scriptures that we have in our Bible, because it is referred to as the document of liberation for Christians, that we're liberated from the law. But watch what the Apostle Paul says about the law and the Ten Commandments. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 real quick and do just that and see what Paul said about the law. And did he speak favorably to the law, or did he speak negatively against it? Well, let's see what the Apostle Paul actually taught about the law, because as you would expect, an apostle of Jesus Christ, you know, one who was called by Jesus Christ directly, that he would teach the same things that Jesus taught. So what does Paul say? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Paul's saying that Jesus Christ offered us liberty and freedom and warns against being brought back into bondage. But there's still more to read here, and he's going to explain himself, and he's going to tell us exactly what he means when he talks about being free from this bondage. Okay, so we're just going to skip over here, if you would. Just go down directly to verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What you have here in the church of Galatia were people that were giving Paul some trouble. They were calling Paul a liar, and every time that Paul would leave, there would be some coming in telling the people of Galatia that they would have to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul's addressing that topic. That's the context here. The works of the law for salvation. What does Paul say? Again, I testify, again to every man who becomes circumcised, that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. And grace is, in fact, how we are saved. That is the mode of our salvation, through grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ. What was going on here is people were forsaking the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and looking to the law as the item that saves us. And that's exactly what Paul's addressing here. But let's keep reading here, because he's going to clarify some things for us. We're going to skip down here to verse 13. And we're going to see exactly what he means by this thing called liberty and bondage when it comes to God's law. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, or called to freedom. We're free. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And here's the caveat. This is what he's talking about here. Yeah, we have liberty and we have freedom, but Paul's saying, don't be mistaken. Don't be deceived, because we can, again, fall into this thing called bondage if we don't have the right perspective on the law. Let's see what he says. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. He's saying, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Look to a moral compass. Look to the law to define what's right and wrong. Far be it for us, friends, to decide for ourselves what's right and what's wrong. Because we've walked so much time in this world, friends, we have the world's dirt all over us. And without something to show us what's right and what's wrong, we're lost. We really are. But he continues here. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. And he goes down through and he's listing all these items. All these items such as debauchery, idolatry, and covetousness. And already, I've already given you a little bit hit what the Apostle Paul's doing here. When you look at what the Apostle Paul's mentioning here to the church in Galatia, you know what the Apostle Paul did here? He just summarized the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments teach us how to love our God, how to love our Heavenly Father. And the last six are there to teach us how to love our fellow man. The Apostle Paul is not teaching against the law. As a matter of fact, he's allowing the congregation to be taught from the law to show them that there is right from wrong. And how do we define what's right from wrong? By looking to something called the law of liberty. And we'll get to that in just a second. And he continues here. Envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the Apostle Paul talking about here, friends? He is talking about nothing more than sin. And how do we know what sin is? Well, let's just take a second and consider something that the Apostle Paul said. You know, what he said about the law was, he says, you know what, I would not even have known that I shouldn't steal unless the law said I shouldn't steal. So what is the law for? Well, there's a couple different avenues that we could look at when we discuss God's law. And we look at the purpose and the intent of what the law is supposed to be for us. You look at, there's two roles, key roles that the law plays in relationship to us. The first role that the law plays, of course, is the judicial law. And the judicial law is the one that, you know, demands our death as a penalty for our sins. And then there's the perpetual aspect of the law, which is simply the educative role. You know, the law, from the beginning of the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the law was never meant to save. It really wasn't. It was meant to teach us right from wrong. God, matter of fact, uses the term that it might be well with you to keep my laws, that it might go well with us. Unfortunately, the misconception with Jesus Christ surrounding his law and his relationship to the law oftentimes comes right back around to him doing away with his law. But really, what did Jesus Christ do through his sacrifice? Let's take a look at that. And turn over with me, if you would please, to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2, a set of scriptures that perhaps you are very familiar with. And I just want to bring just a couple of verses to your mind here. In verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2, he says, "And being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us and contrary to us, nailing it to the cross." And friends, I'm out of time. But really what was nailed to the cross here, the writing of ordinances, was something called a death certificate. Sin has a warrant for our arrest, and it demands our death. But you want to take some time and get the literature I'm going to mention, because it's going to explain exactly what we've talked about here today. So write this down if you got something ready here. Don't forget to contact us. Hit us up on the phone here at 888-578-8791. Or hit us up on the World Wide Web at www.cgi.org and get the pieces of literature that we have offered for you today. The booklet, Understanding the Ten Commandments, and the CD, The Ten Commandments. And until next time, friends, you put on that armor and don't take it off, because we need to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.